This is Novel Marketing, Episode 15. I'm Thomas Umstadt Jr., and this is the show for novelists who hate marketing but still want to become best-selling authors. And in this episode, we're going to be talking about how Google works and why some authors rank better than other authors. But you're probably wondering, where is Jim? Why is Jim not on the show? So there's a little bit of a story behind that. Jim and I were on a retreat with some other author friends of ours, and while we were there, a 10-story tree fell through his house and right through his bed where he would have been sleeping. So you know when you're writing a novel and you feel like the story's not interesting enough, so you drop a corpse through the ceiling or an alligator from the sky? Well, apparently God does that sometimes as well. I think he felt that Jim's life wasn't interesting enough, what with this pending book deadline. So he dropped a tree right through his house, and so now he's living out of a hotel trying to finish his book deadline and trying to get his house rebuilt as well. So we will be covering for him for a few weeks. And we're actually joined by a special guest, Tony Tovar, who is an SEO expert, which is search engine optimization for those of you following along at home. And he's also the CEO of Inbound Mastery. He's who I go to when I have questions about how Google works. So Tony, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks guys for having me.
So, Tony, why is it important to rank well on Google for authors?
Well, primarily because you want to be found, right? If you rank and you're at least in the first, you know, page, you're obviously going to do more better off than other authors who aren't there.
And you're going to sell more books.
Yeah, and you're going to sell more books. Right, right. So, obviously, the reason for it is because you want to show up when people find, you know, are looking for you.
And this is really critical because now Google is where people go for questions. It's where people go for answers. And, you know, I do probably 60, 70 Google searches every day. So if you're not there when I'm searching for you, I'm going to go somewhere else.
Yep, absolutely.
So what do you have to do to rank well in Google? Or more specifically, how does Google work?
So I guess if you, it's kind of like a resume. You want to try to have as many references as you possibly can to the content that you're creating on your website. So, you know, to kind of just put it in one sentence, you want other people to recognize you on their blogs or on their websites for what you've done or what you've written.
And by recognizing, you mean like point a link at your website.
Right, correct, correct.
So this is a big change. I remember when I was a kid in the 90s, search engine optimization, ranking well on Google, how the search engines worked in those days was that they looked at the keywords on a page. You had this kind of secret hidden keyword section and Alta Vista and Hotbot and all those search engines that have now died. That's what they looked at. They looked at the keywords and they ranked the websites. And Google doesn't do that. They don't look at keywords, do they?
No, not anymore. In fact, if you might even still find a few websites out there that have keyword stuffing. And that's what people looked at, or at least these old search engines used to look at in order to rank websites, and that no longer is the case.
And even the non-Google search engines like Bing use a very Google-like approach to a search engine nowadays.
Right. I like to think that Bing and Yahoo, you know, are months away whenever there's an algorithm change or something like that on Google. They tend to lag behind, but they are trying to do things like Google.
So if you shoot for Google, you'll get Bing and Yahoo as well. But if you shoot for Alta Vista, you're going to get nothing.
You're going to get nothing for sure.
So now new search engines are looking at links, how links are coming in. So let's say I'm a novelist. I've just come out with a novel. How do I get more links pointed at my website? Or maybe I should ask, is it the number of links is the most important? You know, just is it all about getting as many links as possible?
That's a good question. I get that often. Do I just need to build a ton of links to get to my, you know, to my website in order to rank? And the answer to that is a definite and absolute no. It does not matter how many links you have. The quality of the links or the referencing sites to you is more important. So to answer your question, it really just comes down to the quality of references that are made to your site.
Okay. So how is that quality determined? Is there some Google henchman, you know, with a pointy hat who decides who is good and who is dead?
So PageRank is the way that they do that. Primarily, the more referencing sites you have, the more authority they think you have, and the more the greater chance that you'll actually rank. So it's all based on their PageRank algorithm, and this is, you know, just some sort of mathematical way of establishing that you have authority based on the referencing sites that link to your site.
And so that PageRank and you know, it's how many links are pointed to that other site.
Right.
It helps their page rank, but not just the kind of links for them as well, but also how authoritative those links are.
Right, right.
And if it's on a relevant topic. So
correct.
If I'm writing about, say I'm writing Amish fiction, mm-hmm. and I get a link from Scientific American, you know, even though Scientific American is authoritative on science subjects, it's not authoritative on Amish subjects.
Right. Any given day, I would totally prefer a link that comes from a relevant site, even though it may not have that high of an authority, because it actually might weigh more in terms of ranking.
So you want high authority links from sites with lots of traffic is probably the easiest kind of corollary.
Absolutely.
But also sites with lots of traffic related to the topic that I'm writing about.
Right. In fact, and like I said, I would prefer a link from a relevant website, even though it may not have that high of an authority, just because the more relevant, the more Google's going to notice that you are an authority in that space.
So we're talking Publishers Weekly or New York Times bestseller list. Those would be good links to get.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So, yeah, just for those of you listening, just go out and, you know, talk to Publishers Weekly, get them to
do a
review for you. So, okay, let's say that I'm not on Publishers Weekly yet, or they reviewed my book, but they didn't put a link to my website, because that's very common.
Sure.
What are some ways that I can get links from authoritative, relevant sites?
So I can go over just a few. One is creating good link bait content. And what that means is, you know, everyone's trying to sift through so much information on any given day that you need to be able to stand out with what you're writing. So long as you can do that, you can grab the attention of some people who own websites, or in case if you make your content shareable and, you know, people pass it along on Facebook or Twitter, other people will find it and might even reference it. And so that good link bait is absolutely necessary in terms of content. So
could you give me some examples of link bait? Are these the like seven things you didn't know about XYZ topic type articles?
Yeah, actually, absolutely. That's one example. You have people who don't want to read anything else unless it's very kind of methodical. You have steps 1 through 5 on how to do it. Absolutely. If you have something like 7 ways to defeat Mordor, some sort of, I don't even know, actually, so I apologize for that.
I'll give an example. When we first started Author Media, we did a post, and it was the 7 agents every author should follow on Twitter or something like
that. Yeah,
and it was
exactly.
A very popular post for authors, but of those 7 agents, I think 5 of them linked to that list. They're like, hey, I made the short list, you know, check it out, and they would tweet, send their Twitter followers.
Actually, that's a great example. So if you go to speaking events, and you listen to, let's say, a few lessons, and you want to link to a few things, like a few cookies that you might have gotten from the conference.
Like your notes of the talk
right,
of someone
right.
else
and
speaking.
You say, this person said this, it was said by this person, and if they catch on that you actually wrote about them, you might actually get a link back from them as well.
So you post the notes to your blog, and then you know, tweet that out. And
that works really well, actually.
Nice. You heard it here first, folks. So next time you hear me speak at a conference, take notes, and maybe you'll get a link from Author Media.
Sure.
So in general, link bait, it's just interesting content, but the most important part of that content is the title.
Yeah, it, because it's what drives people in. If you, I always say this with content, you want to, and it's just from a sales perspective, you want to sell people what they want in the title. But when they come to read the article, you give them what they absolutely need. So with the title, you've got to just grab them in. You got to kind of lure them in with whatever, you know, fancy title you can come up with. But then you start giving them information they absolutely need and are grateful to receive.
Yeah, if Jim were here, he would interrupt right now and say, content isn't king, it's master and supreme commander of the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's true. It doesn't just help you with the social media. It also helps you with ranking well on Google. Okay, right. So we talked about creating link bait content. How else can you get more links to your website?
Sure. Another way is to find guest blogging or guest post opportunities. One way that we've done this in our space is if there's someone who is outranking us, we go to see where they've built links. So they might have had opportunities in some other blogs where they've written articles, and so we go after those as well.
So if my arch nemesis has written a guest post for a really popular blog, mm-hmm. I want to write a guest post for that same blog so that I get a link from them as well.
Right. So it's kind of interesting because then you have this competitive nature where you try to find really great opportunities for guest blogging. And in fact, you don't even have to look for them all that much. If someone's already outranking you, you can look at what they've done and then try to see if you can build relationships with people to get those articles kind of flowing out there.
So if you're an author, a good place to go for guest post opportunities is fellow authors in your same genre. So let's say I write science fiction, but I write science fiction with vampires. So it's kind of a unique form of science fiction, and there's four or five of us in this space. Chances are I'm only writing one or two books a year, and the people who are really into vampire science fiction, vampires in space, are wanting more than that. Mm-hmm. So I can reach out to a so-called competitor and say, hey, can you guest post on my blog? It helps him, but it also helps my readers because it gets them more involved in that genre.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's just a great way to get really relevant links. They may not be, you know, Time Magazine, or it might not be the New York Times, or it might not be a link that is highly authoritative, but it's a link that's extremely relevant. And relevancy plays such an important part in ranking.
That's right. And so ideally you would want to write a guest post for a really popular, you know, New York Times bestseller, someone who's getting lots of traffic, but it's hard to start there. You have to prove that you've built up a following. And I'll say we get people asking to guest post on authormedia.com. Mm-hmm. All the time, almost daily, we have bombards. And what I do is I look and see what kind of social following they have. Are they on Facebook? Are they on Twitter? And where have they written guest posts in the past? So we had somebody come to us and they're like, yeah, I've written articles for Mashable and Social Media Examiner and, you know, these other sites that I really respect. And so I'm like, wow. Well, if they've trusted you with a guest post, I'm more likely to trust you with a guest post, even though I didn't know them in person. Although I will say most of the guest posts that we post are from people who are, I know, I've met at a conference or a friend of a friend.
Right. One thing that I always say is you want to follow the traffic. You don't want to follow the link. So you don't want to just try to go get a link. If you get one, that would be great, because if it comes from a website that has traffic, you know, you don't even have to wait for search engines to rank you. You could just have that traffic coming from those sites. And that's one thing that I see a lot of people do wrong in search engine optimization, where they go try to get links from websites that, you know, may be relevant, but they don't have sufficient, you know, traffic. So you really kind of want to be a little picky about where you want to put your article. Just because if they do have that social push or that kind of visibility, then it's better for you immediately. And in the long term as well for SEO.
Okay, so what are some other ways that I can get links pointed to my website?
So we kind of briefly touched on one that I would recommend. If you go to events, like for instance, you write about someone who spoke, right, and you say something that they on your blog about what they said. What if the table was turned around and you're the speaker? It kind of gives you a great opportunity to not only share your knowledge about the things that you've gained. But it also opens up an opportunity for others to talk about you. So public speaking, I think, is one that would be really good.
And I'll say that this totally works as someone who speaks quite a bit.
Right.
When I speak somewhere, typically they will post, they'll have an agenda of speakers and a list of speakers, and they'll include the bios and links to the websites. There's a really good link there. But I also encourage people to pull out their phones and tweet during or take notes on their laptops during my talks, because I want that social engagement. I want those links. You know, I know they're going to be on their phones anyway, so I might as well have them tweeting about my talk. So I don't see the phone or the tablet as an enemy. I see it as an ally. And I know I'm doing a good job in my talk when there's a whole flurry of tweets related to my talk. I know I'm not doing a good job when everyone's on their phone and there's no tweets afterwards. I'm
like, yeah, absolutely.
They're all texting their kids. Another good way to get inbound links is to write articles for magazines. A good friend of mine, Mary DeMuth, has been writing for Christianity Today. Mm-hmm. And she's been featured on their homepage and on their blog, and in those articles are links back to her website.
Oh, that's
so
good.
That's a super relevant link from a very authoritative source.
Right.
If you're in that kind of Christian space, Christian publishing, Christianity Today is one of the biggest magazines in that space. So, you know, let's say you're writing a book on, you know, a certain kind of fiction, you want to try to write an article for a magazine in that genre, or a short story for a short story collection. And you know, if you're trying to decide between two short story sources, if one gives a link to the author's website and the other one doesn't, you know, write that short story for the magazine or journal with the link.
And you might be surprised. There's a lot of PR firms out there today that don't know that they're actually doing SEO by trying to get their customers or their clients featured in a magazine, or getting a blog post of some sort, or an article, written in one of these magazines. It's a great way to do it. And if they have some sort of online a sister site that they also post things to, that's a great way to get a link.
All right, so we're almost out of time. So we're going to go into the lightning round. I want you to give some quick tips on other ways to get ranking well on Google, because Google looks at hundreds of different things, not just links. We've been focused on that in this, but what are some other tips that you have for ranking well?
Sure. Okay, so for link building, the ones we covered are actually really great. They're the best. I think that you should just kind of focus on those. As far as quick tips for SEO, you just want to make sure that the content is absolutely amazing. When people read that stuff, like I said, people are reading stuff. They're kind of bombarded with a ton of information every day. You just want to be able to stand out. So make sure that you focus on selling people what they want and then actually providing them what they need in the content. You want to also make sure that you integrate things like social media into your blogs. A lot of people don't do that. Well, actually, a lot more people are doing it nowadays. But you want to make sure you do that and also kind of post your articles out to
and have a blog on your website.
Right,
you know,
right.
No one's going to want to link to your about page on your website. If you don't have a blog, you're not going to get hardly any links.
Yeah, you'd be surprised. There's a lot of people who say, well, hey, you know what? We don't want to really spend the time to write. And it's like, well, how else are you going to try to attract your customers? You absolutely have to write things that relate that they can relate to and in a way that would interest them. You know, you don't want to, it's funny. I know a dry cleaning business that writes articles about the industry, and it's like your customers aren't going to read that stuff.
Right. And authors fall in this temptation. They write articles about writing.
Yeah.
And it's like your readers don't want to know about, you know, subjunctive clauses.
Right.
That's not what's going to get them excited. You should write about the genre, review other books, talk about what's going on in Amish.
That's
fiction.
Perfect. Yeah, exactly.
If you write or read Amish, I don't mean to pick on you. It's just such a classic, you know, niche that's just so clearly defined. You know, it's got the lovers and the haters. So
absolutely. So the last thing is just kind of to kind of wrap that a bit is to understand that SEO, going out there, trying to get these links, it's not going to fix boring blog posts. You absolutely need to make sure that they're just, you know, as animated as possible, either in the way that, you know, in the voice of the article or just in the information that you're providing. As long as they're helpful, you have an opportunity to gain a relationship from someone else in terms of getting a referencing site to point to you.
That's very, very good. SEO can't fix a boring blog post. Tony, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, not a problem.
You've been listening to the Novel Marketing Podcast. This episode is brought to you by My Book Table, which is a great way to list and sell your books on your website. And it has great SEO features built right into the plugin to help your books rank really high. Tony actually helped us, gave us some ideas of things to do under the hood, some more technical things to really give you that edge in terms of ranking. And we've just come out with a new version that has deep integration with Michael Hyatt's Get Noticed theme. Mm. So if you're using Get Noticed, My Book Table makes Get Noticed book pages sing.
That's great.
You can import your books right into My Book Table. It's very good. So you've been listening to Novel Marketing, giving you novel ideas on how to sell your book online, offline, and everywhere in between.